was February 21st. So we are in control. That's what that whole story is all about. That whole story, and I could read on, and it goes on, talks more about how food is losing its nutritional value. I could have told you that. They knew that back in the early in 1920s. I read a study. It was done in 1928, I think it was, if I remember right. It's been a long time since I looked at that stuff, so I might be off by a year or two. But this guy had gone around and had come the crops being grown in the U.S. had lost, you know, depending on what you were talking about, 25, 50% of their nutritional value. They knew we were talking, because the thing is, the nutritional value comes out of the soil. And, you know, when they do fertilization, unless it's organic fertilization, the you don't replace most of those nutrition values, because most fertilization involves at least standard fertilization, not the good stuff, not where you actually put stuff back in the soil. But most modern day fertilization is just about phosphorus and nitrogen in the fertilizer. So, you know, it's just, we can control this. That's the thing. The message to take from that one, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we do in our personal life, how we raise our children, and how we treat ourselves actually makes a difference. And we're good people, and we can do all this wealth, we can do all this good, and we can return to having a good earth. We can have a bright future. All right, well, that's it for me for the night there. Just to remind you that Bruce Birch coming up next, All Things Reconsidered. I had a great time. Everything seemed to work out really, really great at this end. And Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio, thanks a lot. You did a bang-up job. I hope we did a bang-up job. Good night, everybody.
What was once broken is being put back together. Bell South and AT&T announced today that they will merge. Two major pieces of the broken monopoly will combine forces, saving the companies some $2 billion per year. The move follows SBC's acquisition of AT&T a year ago, bringing the monopoly's resurrection closer to fruition. Nothing has been said about the impact of the merger on consumers. The war in Iraq is a mass of distortions and outright untruths. That's the opinion of veteran Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha. The fighting Democrat appeared on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday. He decried the Bush administration's credibility problem.
This administration, including the president, have mischaracterized this war for the last 2 years. They said it'll take 40,000 troops to settle this thing right after the invasion. Then they said there's no insurgency. They're dead enders, is what the Secretary of Defense said. On and on and on with mischaracterization of the war. So why would I believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs when he says things are going well?
Murtha went on to say that staying in Iraq doesn't serve American interests, noting that the only countries that want us to stay there are Iran, China, and North Korea. Pakistani dictator Pervez Musharraf lashed out at Afghanistan today. Musharraf said Afghanistan's president, former American oil executive Hamid Karzai, is, quote, totally oblivious, unquote, to the troubles in his own country. Musharraf's comments followed border clashes between Pakistani security forces and Afghan tribesmen in the past week. Appearing on CNN's Late Edition, Musharraf reacted furiously to claims by Karzai that Afghanistan has given information to Pakistan about the whereabouts of Taliban leader Mullah Omar in Pakistan's notorious hill country. Hindu priests had to purify India's shrine to Mahatma Gandhi after George Bush's visit. Bush's fears of being blown up in India brought about a visit by American bomb-sniffing dogs. Because Bush's handlers defiled the shrine by bringing dogs into it, the priests had to wash the memorial site with water from the Ganges River. Hindus believe the Ganges to be sacred. This is News on the Horn, the Head-On Radio Network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community. Because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With the approach of its second anniversary, the judge in Spain's Madrid train bombing case is near to issuing as many as 40 indictments. Spain's so-called socialist government has worked diligently to bring the train bombers to justice, charging 116 people in the slaughter. Insiders say as many as 40 of those charged may be indicted very soon. Not a single person has been indicted for the attacks on the United States on September 11, 2001. One worker died and three others were rescued from an explosion and fire at a West Virginia power plant late Saturday. The workers were trapped at the top of a 1,000-foot-high smokestack at American Electric Power's plant in Moundsville, West Virginia. Maryland State Police helicopter pilots and crews saved the men. It's unknown why the West Virginia State Police was unable to do so. The horror of Iraq's civil war continues unabated. Two people, a cousin and a nephew of a noted Sunni cleric, were killed Sunday when gunmen opened fire on their minibus west of Baghdad. The Bush administration is cracking down on people who blow the whistle on its illegal activities. According to a report in Sunday's Washington Post, the FBI is descending on various government agencies to try to find out how Americans became aware of George Bush's secret domestic spying program. Some Republican lawmakers, like Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, want to pass harsher laws against people who talk to the press when the government breaks the law. Former Minnesota Twins baseball great Kirby Puckett had surgery Sunday. Puckett collapsed from a stroke at his Scottsdale, Arizona home earlier. Puckett is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. For Head On Radio News, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Sunday night. The mainstream media's had its say, and now it's our turn. Time for All Things Reconsidered. Here's your host, Bruce Birch.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch, and man, have I got a bunch of stuff in store for you this evening. But before we get on to the meat of the program, let's do the little housekeeping stuff. You are hearing this stream courtesy of the White Rose Society and our good friend Ben Birch, and he is currently having a fundraising drive, so do go over there and help him out if you can, whiterosesociety.org. 5 million hours of progressive talk radio programming there for your perusal. Also, this show is being brought to you under the auspices of the Head On Radio Network, and thank you, Head On Radio Network. This is show number 32 for All Things Reconsidered. Today is March the 5th, and just wanted to let's do that. Also, we are chatting in the Tom Hartman chat room. If you want to join us while you're listening to the program, you can go to Tom Hartman, THOM Hartman with two N's.com, THOM Hartman with two N's.com. And click on live chat, and it'll get you into the chat room where the finest minds on the internet exist. It is called, at times, the land of eruditia. Look that up in the phone book, why don't you? And last but not least, if you want to get in on this radio program, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. 443-2366 or 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And you can also email me if you want to drop me a line. I would love to hear from you. You can drop me a line by going to allthingsreconsidered.org, or you can email me by just send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And let's get into the heart of the program, shall we? This week has been amazing, and I'm charged up tonight because I just left this wonderful meeting that I was at, and just a lot of good energy there, and I love doing that and then coming on to this show. But this week has been really amazing. All kinds of stuff going on. The president, you know, the president went over to South Asia and checked out India and Pakistan. And, oh, my gosh, you know, the stuff that happens in the wake of this man is just amazing to me. You know, the stuff that happens to prepare for him to go anywhere, first of all. I mean, he is like the – it seems like to me that this president – has successfully created enough hatred in the world. You know, I don't know if anyone could create more problems. But, you know, he goes to these places and they have to, I mean, you know, it just amazes me that he can't just go to somewhere and hang out and take, you know, do talks and stuff. He has to actually figure out places to go where people aren't going to heckle him. And, you know, that's hard enough by itself. I think in India they had scheduled three different places and each place he chose, you know, not to do it. Wow, I've got a caller already on the line, and we're going to go ahead and go straight over to Rob from New York. Rob, what's on your mind tonight? How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm a little screwed up.
Okay.
I've been interested in the scholars for Truth on 9/11.
Okay.
I'm new to this. I'm not a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. What got me into it was the collapse of Building 7.
Okay.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, you know, I'm somewhat familiar with it. I've watched a couple of the videos, and I have seen a couple of and read a couple of articles on a couple of I think it was 911truth.org, and then there's another one. But anyway, yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with it, but what's on your mind about that?
Well, it's changed my paradigm. It's changed the way I've looked at things. You look at that 9/11 video, Building 7, it's controlled demolition. You take it out of the context of 9/11, of the terrorist attacks. No other building in history has collapsed. A skyscraper, steel frame, has collapsed because of a fire. There's been some tremendous fires. These skyscrapers just engulfed in flames for 18, 19 hours, never collapsed. The World Trade Center Building 7 was on fire for 7 hours, which is a long time, but the fires were small. You can see in some of the videos and in pictures that the fires were small, and it comes down all at once, bang. I don't know how else to explain it. Controlled demolition.
Well, and I think there was also, and I can't verify the quote, but I believe that the gentleman who owned the building actually said, you know, said something about pull the building, or I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, and Rob, I guess the one thing that before we get too far into that is just,
right.
You know, there's actually a movie called Loose Change. Have you seen this?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about that one.
Okay. How come?
It makes some claims that seem outlandish to me.
Okay.
And because
sure.
there's some strong evidence. Steve Jones from BYU, Brigham Young University, has a paper out that I strongly advise that you read. And he's a physicist, so he's looking at physical information. He doesn't, you know, like Loose Change starts out with the first building that crashes into the World Trade Center, shoots a missile into the World Trade Center just before it enters it. That's a little crazy. But put that stuff aside, there's some real information out there that's verifiable. A molten steel within all three buildings that collapsed, and the only three buildings that have ever collapsed because of fire on World Trade Center.
Well, yeah, you know, I've gone back and forth with this. Okay,
I don't blame you.
It's myself and
you run amok.
Mm-hmm. And primarily because, you know, I'm an open-minded person and I try to listen to all viewpoints before to make an educated decision about something, right? Because that's the way we operate on the left side, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't necessarily want to always buy exactly what the government feeds me because, you know, in too many circumstances, the government has outright lied and covered up the truth and created falsehoods where there weren't any. But on the same token, it's really difficult. You know, I guess it's hard to wrap my mind around the idea that the government could have perpetrated 9/11.
That's my problem. That's my paradigm shift. So are we talking about the ports being taken over by, I want to say it, but Arab nations? Oh, my God. Well, if just give me Building 7 collapsed as a controlled demolition. Just that information makes me wonder about the entire war on terrorism.
Well, you know, and that would absolutely cause a lot of, I would say, rethinking on the part of, you know, the entire nation.
Well,
you know, I guess here's my only other concern too, Rob, and that is that if what you say is true, how is that going to help us going forward? And how and you know, I mean, there's a lot of there would have to be an incredible amount of work to try to create this as the, you know, to get everyone to shift their thinking.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
To create this, I mean, you know, how is that going to help us going forward?
I'm not sure. You know, I had this. I don't know if you know Wolf Brother on the webs or on the chat room.
Sure.
We had this argument early on before I was a believer. Before, and I'll tell you what, all I had to do was look at the videotape of Building Number 7 coming down.
Mm-hmm.
That it is so clearly, take it out of context again, I said it before, it is so clearly controlled demolition that, you know, very few companies will do this sort of thing because it's so difficult. And the odds that a random event could cause this, it seems off the charts to me. But I argued with Wolf Brother, do you really want to win the next election? let's not bring this up, but I'm almost... you know, and this is a forum where I think I can bring this up. But if I'm calling Rush Limbaugh, I'm not going to talk about this.
Sure.
You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's not a winner.
So you're saying, okay.
It's
not a winner. And I think that's, I mean, there is a part, you know, something we need to really think about with this is that anything, you know, that is going to, anything that's going to create more dissension than unifying,
right.
You know, I think, I mean, this is just from a political standpoint, and that is that everything, you know, as I've watched the elections over the last, you know, however long I've been around, and I've not been around an incredible amount of time, but,
right.
You know, what I've noticed is that the people who win elections seem to create an atmosphere of hope, and people want to see hope, okay? And so... You know, I guess I'm struggling a little bit with this, you know, with, I mean, you know, okay, let's just say, for instance, okay, all of this happened exactly like, you know, 911truth.org says it, or
right.
Loose Change says it, or whatever. That those were documentaries as opposed to, you know, as opposed to something that's positing a different idea.
Right.
Even if all that were true, what could we do with it?
Well, I mean, let me just give you one little thing. Steve Jones was on Tucker Carlson in November of last year. And Tucker Carlson wrote a response, a blog, because of so many emails that he got in regards to that show. And a lot of people said that they were proud of Tucker because he was so brave to take that interview. And Tucker Carlson wrote in the interview, now imagine this, 3,000 people killed by their own government, and the government lied about it. That was his take. The government lied about the government killing 3,000 of its own citizens. I mean, it's like the outrage about the outrage of the torture. It's never the acts that are outrageous. It's the response to the act.
Exactly. You know, and I think, you know, I think that the story is still being written on all of this. I mean, I know that when I watched Loose Change, there were probably three or four glaring things. That's not even talking about, they probably put forth, I don't know, 50 or 60 ideas, but one or two or three was enough for me to go, okay, you know what? there's something, you know, there are just too many questions, and I don't know that I have any answer for any of those questions, but I know that there's a lot of questions.
Well, why I'm encouraged by the Scholars for Truth on 9/11 is that they're taking a rational approach to this. And my problem with Loose Change is it goes too far. It fudges the evidence.
Rob, we got to take a quick break. You want to hang on with me?
Sure, that's great.
All right, Rob, we'll be right back. You listen to All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. We will be right back.
Fight childhood asthma, then fight it with a scrub brush and a hot soapy towel. Even in the neatest and tidiest homes, if there's so much as a crumb to eat or a drop to drink, household pests like bugs and mice will do all that they can to get it. Creepy crawlies like bugs and mice are unpleasant enough as it is, but they're more than just a nuisance for kids with asthma because they can actually trigger an asthma attack. So, give them a whole lot of nothing. Sweep up crumbs, wipe down tables, scrub dishes before they pile up in the sink, and store leftovers in plastic bags or bowls. Don't leave them so much as one tidbit or nibble, and you can stop a childhood asthma attack before it starts. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
All right, you're back with All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch, and when we went to the break, we had Rob on the line, and Rob and I were talking about 9/11 and Building 7. Rob, are you still with me?
I'm still here.
All right, man. Okay, so we were talking about now. You know, when we went to the break was just that, you know, there are enough holes in the story to say that, you know what, the official explanation doesn't make sense.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Exactly. The thing that I like about the Steve Jones paper is that he looks at the physical evidence that there. He has a video of a molten steel pouring out of one of the World Trade Centers. An open flame, an open fire that uses even jet fuel does not have enough heat to melt steel. Steel doesn't melt until 1,500 degrees, and they're thinking that the fires could not have gotten above 800 degrees Celsius. So what what possible evidence or what possible reason for molten steel to be pouring out of the building. One of their explanations was maybe it's the aluminum from the build or from the jet that crashed in. Well, you melt aluminum, it's gray. It's not glowing red. Now he has some reasons, some hypothesis to what that could be, but the 9/11 Commission never, addressed those issues.
Well, I'm not an expert. I mean, maybe that's something I've read part of that paper. I know that when he came out and went public with that paper, that it really, put a feather in the cap of the folks who have been talking about this for the last, 4 years. This is a good question. There's a guy in the chat room who's now saying, is Building 7 our grassy knoll? And you know what? We may never know, Rob. And I think the other part of this too is that, I'm not one to like. Yes, I understand that this is a huge issue for a lot of folks, and there's been a tremendous amount of time put into this situation. And if indeed, one item, if one tenth of what they say is true, then this government is, well, we already know this government's pretty completely criminal.
Absolutely.
But, I guess my feeling is that, we have a situation right now where looking back at that and, may not be, or spending too much time on it, I should say.
And I understand that. My argument is, number one, my mother's always considered herself a conservative, and I've brought this information up to her, and she immediately, building number 7, I showed her the video, and she immediately turned defensive and angry, like she knew that was controlled demolition. She understood it immediately, and the reaction was, well, so you think Bush did it? And so I understand that this topic may well be anti-productive.
It's totally anti-productive.
In my own way of thinking, as a politico for most of my life, that it could be anti-productive. But for my own sake, and where I've come from with this is, I'm in my mid 40s. I've gone back to school after getting laid off from a factory. I'm taking a class on documentary evidence. And that's kind of what led me into this, and thanks to Wolf Brother for making me obsessed about it. But the documentary evidence is very clear in this case, and I'm writing a paper on it, which is what's taken me so far into it, is that, if you use the videotapes as evidence, it becomes very clear that there was much more than fires that brought down these buildings.
Well, and I think that, there are so many questions surrounding this that I don't know that they'll ever be answered. But the fact, Rob, it's like the old alcoholic asking himself, well, am I an alcoholic? Well, the fact that you have to ask yourself might be self-diagnosing.
Exactly.
Okay. And the reason why I say that is because, the fact that there are so many questions surrounding this,
right,
in and of itself indicates something. That there's something that doesn't quite add up. So,
well, one more thing I want to think about this is one of the ways that I think that the right has responded to this criticism is that they've kind of joined the conspiracies and put out their own bad ideas, the bad plans that. You can look at the conspiracy theories. I'm not sure. I think In Plain Sight is another documentary. I think it was put out by conservatives to muddy the field, to make the evidence look weak. You put it in with a bunch of bad evidence, put good evidence with bad evidence, and there you go. It's all bad.
Okay. Well, and I think that, again, who knows? The whole COINTELPRO thing in the 70s was all about spreading misinformation.
Right.
And, you know, the reality is that if there is a significant amount of misinformation being spread, you know, that's going to keep a lot of people busy that might otherwise be actually working for positive change in other areas.
Well, Bruce, I appreciate the time, and I just want to encourage everyone to go out there and find the link WTC7 video, and you'll see it and look at it against other controlled demolitions, and it will make up your mind.
Okay. Thanks for calling the program, Rob.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Okay. If you're listening to Bruce Birch, this is All Things Reconsidered on the Hit On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Head on. He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember it. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts. The issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7.06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my Progressive Point of View, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Vivian Salim, her husband, and their three children were trying to get out of Baghdad the day after U.S. troops arrived, but a U.S. tank opened fire on their car, killing everyone but Vivian. I saw the bullets enter my children's heads, she said, according to an account from Medea Benjamin of Code Pink, the feminist group that's been so active in opposing this Iraq war. Vivian added, one minute I was a mother, a wife with a family. The next minute, my family was gone. Code Pink has invited Vivian and six other Iraqi women to come to the U.S. One of these invitees, Anwar Kadim Jawad, also lost her husband and children to U.S. gunfire. Now Condoleezza Rice's State Department will not let either Vivian or Anwar come over here. In about as cold-blooded an irony as you can imagine, the State Department says that neither of them has sufficient family ties that would keep them in Iraq. That's because the U.S. killed most of their family members. Code Pink says the women have no desire to stay in the U.S. Vivian, for instance, lives with her elderly parents. I doubt this alleged lack of family ties is the real reason Condoleezza Rice won't let these women in. She just doesn't want them telling their stories here. The administration has kept Iraqi civilian casualties pretty much off camera for 3 years, and they don't want to break with that policy now. But if you want these women to come tell the American people about what Bush's invasion has wrought, go to womensaynotowar.org. That's womensaynotowar.org. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set.
All right, you're back on with Bruce Birch, and this is All Things Reconsidered, March the 5th edition. I'd like to welcome everyone back to the program. It's about 31 minutes past the hour, and we just had a wonderful call from a friend from New York, Rob, who called in and was talking about Building 7, the 9/11 situation, and, you know, and if you you know, it's open lines tonight. If you want to get in on the program, I strongly encourage you to do so. You can do so by calling 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. You can also send me an email to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. And if you have comments on the 9/11 thing, if you think that it's that some of the theories are hogwash, or if you think that indeed the government's responsible, or you know, if you want to talk about something completely different, that's why we're here. We try to reconsider all things. Okay, you know, I wanted to get into, go ahead and get on with some of the other programming that I had for this evening, you know, but feel free to call in at any time and we'll cut right to your telephone call. Today, apparently, we have a number of things to get us going for the next week. Now, last week we were on this program, we talked about the Dubai Ports World deal and... you know, and I kind of put the question forward about, you know, if we're not going to let them come in and run ports here in the United States, then why are we letting, why did we let Britain do it for years? Why are we letting the Chinese do it to a certain degree, come in and run our ports? And we're upset because this is a company that is a state-owned company that's an Arab company owned by the United Arab Emirates, you know, and that touched off a firestorm of phone calls. And I don't want to like get all back into that again, but I do have a story I want to relate back to you, because this pretty much shows you what how these people feel about this entire deal. This is out of the Channel News Asia International website. You can go to channelnewsasia.com. And apparently the CEO of Dubai Ports World says... you know, that the port deal will succeed despite U.S. opposition. So, as far as they're concerned, this is a done deal. The head of a Dubai company facing a U.S. political firestorm over its multi-billion dollar bid to take over the operations of six major American ports voiced optimism that the deal would succeed. In an interview with CNN Television, Dubai Ports World Chief Executive Officer Mohammed Sharaf said, "As far as we're concerned, the deal is going to go through." Now, Republican Representative Duncan Hunter, the chairman of the powerful House Armed Services Committee, is seeking to sink the deal. Pun not intended, I'm sure. Hunter alleges that Dubai operates as a bazaar for terrorist nations and cannot be trusted to safeguard American national security interests. Duncan apparently told ABC News This Week program today that government-owned DP World cannot be trusted to run major U.S. ports in Baltimore, Miami, New Jersey, New Orleans, New York, and Philadelphia. He goes on to say that Dubai has a reputation of being the place where you go in if you want to ship something with anonymity, claiming that it had been used as a transshipment center for weapons proliferation, including nuclear centrifuges. So, you know, this thing is far from over, folks. And to me, it is truly amazing. You know, we were talking about the 9/11 thing a minute ago, and I think what this in and of itself, this whole story by itself, should say something about the fact that this current administration is selling our security to the highest bidder. You know? It just amazes me. Now, P&O, which is Peninsula and Oriental Steamship Navigation Company, the company that was owned by Britain, or owned by some Britons there, is the company that's being taken over by DP World, which then, in turn, creates DP World's takeover of some of these ports. And, you know, I just wanted to bring that back to your attention. You know, they're very defiant, the DP World folks are, and it looks like that they're going to push the deal through despite any opposition from the United States. Now, wanted to also make sure that... you heard some of the audio that we had. Now, you know, the president this past week was over in South Asia. And while he was there, you know,
the Asians, you know, the South Asians there, the Indians and the Pakistanis and, you know, got in an uproar. We're all in an uproar. And, the, you know, the damnedest thing, I had called, actually, this is just as a side note. You know, I had to do some work via, you know, on a website that I do, on my website, actually. And I was having some trouble, so I went on to my website hosting company's website and did the little, you know, direct chat thing. And what happened was, you know, as I'm talking with this person, I asked them, I said, are you in, you know, because their name was Satish, S-A-T-I-S-H or something. And I thought, okay, well, this is probably not somebody in Kansas. Or it could be, but, you know, probably not. So I asked the person, I said, are you in India? And this person answered back, yes, I am. And I said, well, our president is there now, isn't he? And they were like, yes, he is. Please tell him to go home. Please call him and tell him to come home. So I just thought that was interesting. Just a little side note there. But, you know, the cool thing is that we get to have, dig this, we get to sell some nuclear secrets for mangoes.
India's largest trading partner, and India is one of the United States' fastest growing export markets. That's one of the reasons we met with the CEOs today, is to how to further trade and how to further commerce and how to further opportunities. And, oh, by the way, Mr. Prime Minister, the United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
What was that? Something about Indian mangoes. My goodness. Well, if you listened to Fourth Estate Radio last night, you heard John and I go off on mangoes. You know, that reminds me of the line that the president gave in the speech about switchgrass, that we're going to be powering cars with switchgrass. Something along those lines. So there you go. We're going to be trading nuclear secrets for mangoes. Now, he went from there over to Pakistan. And in Pakistan, you know, he had to hide. He had to fly into Pakistan in the middle of the night with all the lights off on the airplane and all the shades drawn so that no one could see the plane come in. And it was just really kind of just, I couldn't believe it. It really was you know, and actually some of the sentiment preceded his trip. And Bob, I think there was a protest statement. There were some protesters that were going to be protesting the president, and I'm not sure who exactly this was, but they got on national TV there, and they basically, you know, wanted to make a statement as to why they're protesting the president of the United States. I mean, we don't have to give a reason, but apparently they felt like they needed to. If you want to run that, Bob.
We have decided to hold a demonstration against George Bush. Because of his double standards, he has, because of his invasion of Iraq, over 100,000 people have been killed, another 400,000 have been injured, and all this is supposed to be in the name of freedom and democracy. And here he is coming to Pakistan and supporting a military dictator, and he has actually given a statement saying that he agrees with General Musharraf's vision of democracy. Pakistan is the only country apart from Burma where a serving general is ruling the country, who's taken over the country through force of arms because of his being the head of the army. And here is General George Bush commending him and saying that he agrees with his vision of democracy. I want to ask him that, does he think people are fools here? I mean, if a general can run a country in Pakistan, then why doesn't he allow a general to run White House?
That's a darn good question. If a general can run the country in Pakistan, why can't a general run the country or run the White House? And I think that's one that dear leader, thank you, Bob, dear leader should answer. We do have a caller on line one. It's our good friend Spike. Spike from Easton, Pennsylvania. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Gonzo, greetings from the north.
Gonzo, greetings from, yeah, absolutely. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Hey, before I even get to talking about Bush's Wild on Asia trip there, I have a quote from him on my calendar in front of me, which I just have to, it's a one sentence. Will the highways on the internet become more few? And
Will the highways on the internet become more few?
Yeah, yeah. If anyone can decode that, call 555 Puzzled.
555.
You'll win a decoder ring. It stares at me.
Is that from North or South Dakota? I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
But it just puzzles me. Like, this is when he was running for president in January of 2000. He said stupid things like this, and some of the people still voted for him. I really don't get the Republican base at times. But, yeah, one big thing that stuck out is everyone knew when the White House leaked the rumor he was going to stop in Afghanistan at some point in that trip, but they didn't want to say when for safety reasons. Isn't it convenient they did it first? And what I find interesting is heroin production is at an all-time high in Afghanistan, and Bush had to go there first on his little trip. And considering he says things like, well, the highways on the internet become more few, it makes me wonder, maybe it isn't so much alcohol Drudge does that makes him so dumb, it's maybe something else. But yeah, that's just pure speculation. It would make more sense if he was President Smackhead. Unfortunately, I think he's that dumb and sober. But as for this whole trip to the Middle East, I love the warm welcome he got in India. I mean,
oh, they didn't like him at all there.
No,
they?
And the funny thing is aside from Pakistan, India doesn't have too many problems with too many other countries around the world other than basically Pakistan and Britain when Britain was in there. And that was a very uncharacteristic welcome for a foreign leader in India, especially considering how much work we've given them through outsourcing over the past years. You'd think they'd love them. I guess that should really show how incompetent he is. They probably would have given Clinton the royal treatment. But then again, I guess that's because most Americans don't realize that while they're in a bitter Cold War Pakistan, George Bush gave weapons of mass destruction to the tyrant who overthrew a leader by military force in Pakistan, so he would be our friend. I remember kids like that growing up. You know, I'll buy you something if you hang out with me.
Sure.
And those were pure losers, those kids. And to think we now have one actually running our foreign policy.
Well, it was really crazy in the run up to war. The president, you know, went around and did all these trips and made all these promises. I remember covering it, or at least not covering it in this show, but I remember reading all these stories about him going around and making all these foreign aid promises to various, you know, countries, I mean, you know, that surrounded Iraq, okay, and basically said to them, I'll give you money if you'll stick by me. Spike, we have a break coming up, but if you want to, you can hold on to the other side.
Okay, that works.
All right, you're on All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. This is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back. You know, the president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Hey, have you got a minute? I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The Man Ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask you a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
All right, you're back on with Bruce Birch, All Things Reconsidered on the Hit On Radio Network. And when we went to the break, we had Spike on the line. And I just wanted to real quick also mention that we are on a couple of affiliates. The last radio station, and that would be in Eastern North Carolina, based in Greenville, North Carolina. So thank you, Keith Lake, for putting us on your programming down there, and also WDCX out of Dade City, Florida. So thank you down there, guys, for everything you're doing. And Spike, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right, fantastic. We were talking about President Bunny Pants taking a little sojourn to the South Asia there.
Yeah, well, I mean, since he avoided it during the Vietnam era, why not visit the continent now when he doesn't have to actually serve? yeah, it's
you're just a mean man, Spike.
Yeah, well, all those particular books, I guess, gave me a twisted sense of humor about the whole issue. You know, what kills me is he goes over there. It's kind of convenient. He goes over there when the heat's on here. But this is what I find interested. He's so afraid of the heat and, I guess, the poll numbers right now in America. He's willing to go to countries where he could very well be assassinated at any moment, which perhaps should say just how bad things are going for him over here. He's willing to basically walk into the minefield of Taliban country right now to avoid the angry Americans. Either that, maybe Cheney was going to take him hunting, and he had to find an excuse to get out of it. I'm not particularly sure.
Which, by the way, I just want to mention, I have an interview with Dick Cheney coming up later on in the program.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Did his breathing apparatus get in the way, or did the evil empire do something about that?
Get in the way of what? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. No, it didn't get in the way. But it'll. Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
Okay.
But I think the president. You know, here's my thing. Is I think, you know, the president went out, and he went to, or, you know, he sent all these folks out. I think John Bolton was one of them. I'm trying to think. Richard Pearl. A few of the other ones ahead of the Iraq War to try to garner support from some of these countries that surrounded Iraq. And the only thing that I can figure that this big trip is about, there's no, you know, okay, listen, I am not that stupid. Well, I am pretty stupid, but not that stupid. And it's hard for me to fathom that the president got in a plane and flew all the way to India and created all that problem, all those problems for those people, just to negotiate a nuclear secrets for mangoes trade pact.
Yeah, which, by the way, John Fox referred to it as mango meetings. Kind of a run on my gonzo greetings, I guess.
Mango meetings, yes.
Mango meetings.
So there had to have been something else.
Oh, there's got to be something much bigger. I can't see that much money being in mango. I mean, I like mangoes a lot, but I just don't think they packed a blockbuster deal like an oil deal. Although, then again, this is the guy who at one time traded Sammy Sosa for, I think, four guys whose careers combined lasted 90 days in Major League Baseball, and Sammy Sosa went on to be a big name. So even when he had the cush job of running a baseball team, he didn't even do that one right. So maybe he really did spend all that money on mangoes. He's run every business he's ever had into the ground. He's doing a heck of a job at it right now at the United States of America also. So these might be the crackpot ideas he comes up with in his stellar outside-the-box thinking.
We've got to think outside of the box, people. Anyway, I think here's what I think, Spike, is I think he went over there to work out, to broker a deal with those two countries to get them to get along long enough for the U.S. to invade Iran. Now, the other thing, too, that adds along to that idea is that they are apparently going to be seeking this week a 30-day deadline on the disclosure of what Iran is doing with its nuclear stuff from the Security Council.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have the whole deal with the United Arab Emirates and with the Dubai ports world. And, you know, if you look at a map, you have Iraq to the west, you have Afghanistan to the northeast, Pakistan to the east, and the Gulf with United Arab Emirates to the south of Iran.
Well,
the country is basically virtually surrounded by countries we have either invaded or visited or are doing deals with right now.
Yeah, we're buying a lot of support over there, and certain countries we can't invade or buy, like Turkey, which is kind of complicated. Hey, real quick, before I get going here, last night C-SPAN had, in my favorite world of boring TV, they had a debate between Tom Daschle and Pat Buchanan. I forget what university had it. And interesting thing, they asked a question about nation building, and it was the guy who you would agree with the least on social issues. But when it comes to foreign policy, it's becoming more and more scary how he doesn't sound that crazy anymore in Buchanan saying that, you know, our founding fathers, yeah, they always supported democracy around the world, but they never were about bringing it to people. You know, maybe if someone requested your help, give them a little help, but that, you know, in all actuality, the Americans had to earn it themselves, and as do everyone else around the world. And that's
isn't it crazy how the whack jobs of yesteryear are turning out to be the moderates of the current situation?
Who would ever think we had a president that would make Pat Buchanan and George H.W. Bush look like reasonable men? That's the scariest part. And it's H.W.'s own son that's doing it. I mean, well, you know, the typical screw-up son, you know. Oh, yeah, here's Junior again, you know. I just have this scary thought of who's next. Because apparently there's some crackpots in this country who will vote for any crackpot with a famous name. You know, i.e. the state of California. And I'm a little afraid we might have a Jeb follow-up, or even worse, in my opinion, would be a Hillary follow-up, because I really – they've got to be better Democrats than Hillary Clinton. And I trust her as far as I could throw her, but I might be able to toss her further than I trust her. And not that I would condone throwing women, let alone ones in the Senate. I think that's a federal offense there, but one more thing before I go. Apparently my head literally is screwed up. I had a CAT scan today, and there's some fluid that doesn't belong in there. And
oh my goodness.
Yeah, well, when they drill, it'll probably turn out to be wild turkey or something. But
that's not funny, man. That's just wrong. But anyway, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's my own head. Yeah, 7 7/8 hat size. I figured the brain couldn't be that big, so God had to put something in there to keep it from moving around, so he put a bunch of cow manure in there. But the Patriot Act vote that just recently happened, only 18 Democrats, which somehow became difficult to say for a second, 18 Democrats voted against it. Now, what I'm wondering is, who are these 18, and how stupid are these other ones who aren't part of these 18? I mean, and I don't want to hear anything from the Democratic Party next election about, if a Republican takes office again, the Patriot Act could continue, because they're the ones that have enabled it twice now. You know, and that was one of the big things they always laid into me about, oh, if you vote for NATO, the Patriot will continue, blah, blah, blah. You guys vote for it anyways. You always bow down to the Republicans when they browbeat them hard enough. Usually they don't even have to try that hard. And yeah. That's what I'm wondering is, who are these Democrats that actually support the Patriot Act still, other than Lieberman? I understand he's an idiot. But I'll leave it at that.
Well, all right, because we're going into a break anyway. But thanks for calling, Spike. It's great to have you on the air.
Hey, it was great to be on.
All right, man. All right, you listen to All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. We're going to take our top of the hour break. We'll be right back.
McGruff the Crime Dog here with my nephew Scruff. Get a pencil and write down an important address. It's for the new McGruff Comic Activity Book.
And it's full of me.
The address is...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Hey, Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652. Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
It tells you what to do about guns and about bullies and drugs and about strangers who want to give you a ride.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
And it's full of games and puzzles, too. So for your free copy of my new comic activity book, just write...
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
Not bad.
Can I do it again?
One more time.
Scruff McGruff, Chicago, Illinois, 60652.
You'll be helping me take a bite out of crime.
A public service message from this station, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition, and the Ag Council.
How can we help prepare our kids for the future? Hi, this is Roger McGuinn. These days, our children face challenges unimaginable to us only a generation ago. We adults need to help our kids find something in school that really sparks their interest and keeps them involved. If that something happens to be music, the child will benefit in so many ways. Playing music in school is a great way to make friends. Studies are showing that kids involved in music are less likely to get into trouble. And kids who studied music find science and math easier to grasp. They tend to score higher on SATs. It has something to do with something called spatial IQ. So get your kids involved with school music. It's a great way to help prepare them for life.
A PSA brought to you by MEMC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
Head On Radio Network News. I'm Bob Kincaid. What was once broken is being put back together. Bell South and AT&T announced today that they will merge. Two major pieces of the broken monopoly will combine forces, saving the companies some $2 billion per year. The move follows SBC's acquisition of AT&T a year ago, bringing the monopoly's resurrection closer to fruition. Nothing has been said about the impact of the merger on consumers. The war in Iraq is a mass of distortions and outright untruths. That's the opinion of veteran Pennsylvania Congressman John Murtha. The fighting Democrat appeared on CBS's Face the Nation Sunday. He decried the Bush administration's credibility problem.
This administration, including the president, have mischaracterized this war for the last 2 years. They said it'll take 40,000 troops to settle this thing right after the invasion. Then they said there's no insurgency. They're dead enders, is what the Secretary of Defense said. On and on and on with mischaracterization of the war. So why would I believe the chairman of the Joint Chiefs when he says things are going well?
Murtha went on to say that staying in Iraq doesn't serve American interests, noting that the only countries that want us to stay there are Iran, China, and North Korea. Pakistani dictator Pervez Musharraf lashed out at Afghanistan today. Musharraf said Afghanistan's president, former American oil executive Hamid Karzai, is, quote, totally oblivious, unquote, to the troubles in his own country. Musharraf's comments followed border clashes between Pakistani security forces and Afghan tribesmen in the past week. Appearing on CNN's Late Edition, Musharraf reacted furiously to claims by Karzai that Afghanistan has given information to Pakistan about the whereabouts of Taliban leader Mullah Omar in Pakistan's notorious hill country. Hindu priests had to purify India's shrine to Mahatma Gandhi after George Bush's visit. Bush's fears of being blown up in India brought about a visit by American bomb-sniffing dogs. Because Bush's handlers defiled the shrine by bringing dogs into it, the priests had to wash the memorial site with water from the Ganges River. Hindus believe the Ganges to be sacred. This is News on the Horn, the head-on radio network.
Hi, my name is Joanne, and I have mannequinism. Well, I did have it, but I'm not a mannequin anymore. Doctors said over 75% of my body turned into plastic. They said it's because I wasn't active in my community, because I didn't vote or volunteer or I don't know. All I wanted to do was cry, but I couldn't because I had plastic eyes.
Protect yourself from mannequinism. Log on to fightmannequinism.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With the approach of its second anniversary, the judge in Spain's Madrid train bombing case is near to issuing as many as 40 indictments. Spain's so-called socialist government has worked diligently to bring the train bombers to justice, charging 116 people in the slaughter. Insiders say as many as 40 of those charged may be indicted very soon. Not a single person has been indicted for the attacks on the United States on September 11, 2001. One worker died and three others were rescued from an explosion and fire at a West Virginia power plant late Saturday. The workers were trapped at the top of a 1,000-foot-high smokestack at American Electric Power's plant in Moundsville, West Virginia. Maryland State Police helicopter pilots and crews saved the men. It's unknown why the West Virginia State Police was unable to do so. The horror of Iraq's civil war continues unabated. Two people, a cousin and a nephew of a noted Sunni cleric, were killed Sunday when gunmen opened fire on their minibus west of Baghdad. The Bush administration is cracking down on people who blow the whistle on its illegal activities. According to a report in Sunday's Washington Post, the FBI is descending on various government agencies to try to find out how Americans became aware of George Bush's secret domestic spying program. Some Republican lawmakers, like Kansas Senator Pat Roberts, want to pass harsher laws against people who talk to the press when the government breaks the law. Former Minnesota Twins baseball great Kirby Puckett had surgery Sunday. Puckett collapsed from a stroke at his Scottsdale, Arizona home earlier. Puckett is a member of the Baseball Hall of Fame. For Head On Radio News, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Back with On All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. This is Bruce Birch. I'm your host for this evening. We've had a couple of phone calls tonight. We've been talking about the whole 9/11 situation and the whole situation with Bunny Pants down there in Asia and some of the things that's been happening down that way. Now, apparently, today the Washington Post came out and wrote an editorial in today's newspaper that was very, very critical of Pervez Musharraf. And, you know, what we've seen with Musharraf is that here's a guy who loves to talk about the fact that he's running a democracy, but in fact he stole the democracy and he used military force to do that. And this is, of course, in Pakistan. If you're a lover of democracy, then surely, you know, you would let the people vote and decide whether or not to keep you in power. Now, according to him, they did vote. But we have some audio about that. Bob, you want to run that Musharraf audio?
General Musharraf has been promising to restore democracy since his coup. Yet throughout his years in power, he has sought to suppress Pakistan's secular democratic parties while striking deals with Muslim extremists. The editorial goes on to say his refusal to restore democracy in this country has only made it more unstable.
I think Washington Post doesn't know what they are writing. I don't think they even know what our environment is. When they are talking of restoring democracy, we have restored sustainable democracy in Pakistan. What is democracy? I wonder whether Washington Post knows it. Democracy really is empowerment of people. We have empowered the people of Pakistan through the local government system, which was non-existent in the past. It also means empowerment of the women of Pakistan, when we have done that for the first time in the history of Pakistan. We have empowered the minorities of Pakistan, and we've, again, this is for the first time that we've given them a joint electorate system, and they have been mainstreamed in the political milieu of Pakistan. We have liberated the press and media. That is what is democracy, the freedom of speech and expression. Today, the electronic and press media in Pakistan are totally free, and there are dozens of private channels operating, whereas there was only one in the past. Then, I myself have been elected, allowed to be the president in uniform through a two-third majority in the National Assembly.
And there you have it. The world according to Pervez Musharraf. And yes, he is still a brutal dictator. And yes, he is. And yes, he would preserve his power if it meant using his military to do so. So don't be taken in by the sleight of hand trick there with democracy thrown about and talking about the Washington Post as if it does not know what democracy is. It may not, but Musharraf didn't have the right to say that. Maybe he does have the right to say that. And, you know, in reality, this, the dealings that he's had with our country has been just downright insane. I mean, you know, I think he was hiding AQ Khan, and I think that at one point, when we were looking for him for nuclear crimes, that was that clip, by the way, was from CNN's late edition with Wolf Blitzer today. Make sure I throw the credit in there where credit is due. So there you go. There's Pervez Musharraf. Now, if you want to get in on the program, you can do so by dialing 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. Or if you like letters on the phone instead of numbers, you can dial 1-877 the number 4 head on. 1-877-4 head on. And also, you can send me an email if you're so inclined to allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. That's allthings@allthingsreconsidered.org. We've been talking about a number of different things tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and switch gears a bit over to another story that Bob, our wonderful news guy, covered at the top of the hour, and that is also Musharraf. Now, Musharraf, all of a sudden, is really getting some, he's really starting to feel his oats over there for some reason. Not only does he lash out at the Washington Post today, but he also lashed out at Afghanistan. And what he said is kind of interesting. But what he said was, and I'll just read this. This is from bignewsnetwork.com. You can go to feeds.bignewsnetwork.com to find the story. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf is lashing out at elements in Afghanistan's government he says are trying to lay all the blame on his country for failing to capture wanted Al-Qaeda terrorist leader Osama bin Laden. So apparently, he's blaming the fact... Oh, gosh, these people. Okay, so apparently, I'm thinking George Bush, must have spanked him and said, come on now, you got to help us catch Osami. Osami's got to be caught now. And instead, Musharraf is passing the buck. More than 4 years have passed since the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks on the United States stunned Americans and grabbed world headlines. Although the mastermind behind the attacks, Osama bin Laden, has not been caught, he is believed to be hiding out in the mountainous region near the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. There have been frequent clashes on both sides of the border with suspected Al-Qaeda and Taliban militants. Okay. During his trip to South Asia, where he stopped in both Afghanistan and Pakistan, President Bush noted both countries are involved in efforts to catch bin Laden. President Bush said, "I am confident he will be brought to justice. What is happening is that we have got U.S. forces on the hunt, not only for bin Laden, but anyone who plots and plans with bin Laden. There are Afghan forces on the hunt for not only bin Laden, but those who plot and plan with him. We have got Pakistan forces on the hunt." And again, there's Bush English. Bushlish. Hey, there's a new word. Bushlish. Now, Pervez Musharraf says, I am totally disappointed with their intelligence, and I feel that there is a very, very deliberate attempt to malign Pakistan by some agents. President Karzai is totally oblivious of what is happening in his own country, he said. So, therefore, I would say he should pull up his intelligence. He should pull up his Ministry of Defense. So, you know, so now we got people fighting over trying to catch one guy. You know, and apparently also there's over 100 people are dead in Pakistani-Afghani fighting this week as well. So, you know, that area is heating up. I'm thinking whatever Bush touches seems to just turn into automatic war and strife and pain and killing. And, you know, God, this guy is just, he's, okay. Have you ever seen Pigpen out of the comic strip Peanuts? Well, I'm looking at Bush and I'm thinking Pigpen, because wherever he goes, there's this little cloud of destruction that seems to follow around behind him. Anyway, if you want to get on the program, 1-877-443-2366, 1-877-443-2366. You know, a couple of other things, you know, I wanted to get to tonight. I wanted to get back to Katrina, to Hurricane Katrina a bit. And the reason why I wanted to get back to Hurricane Katrina a bit is because, you know, there was a story this week about the fact that the president knew more than he let on. And that now sounds like a perfectly, wonderfully good time to run. There's an AP video that was made, an AP story that was made that involved a video that was created during the briefings that George Bush got during Hurricane Katrina. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because, you know, earlier on in the program, we were talking about the government not being forthcoming about certain things, and that they tend to cover up and they tend to not tell the truth about stuff that's going on immediately in front of you. And you watch it go on, and you know that you want to hope that they're telling you the truth. Well, this video pretty much proves that Mr. Bush didn't tell the truth. But we're going to listen to the audio from it. This is a Katrina AP story, Bob, if you can pull that up.
It was Sunday, August 29th, 19 hours before Hurricane Katrina slams ashore on the Louisiana coast. The storm was still at sea, swirling and strengthening. Then FEMA Chief Michael Brown was briefing President Bush, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff, and local officials on the readiness plans. The meeting was recorded, and now, 6 months later, obtained exclusively by the Associated Press. The tape shows a clear sense of urgency.
My gut tells me, I told you guys, my gut was that this is a bad one and a big one. Everyone within FEMA is actually on call. This is, put it mildly, the big one, I think.
The nation's top hurricane experts offer their predictions.
This is a Category 5 hurricane. Very similar to Hurricane Andrew in the maximum intensity, but there's a big, big difference. This hurricane is much larger than Andrew ever was.
And identify major threats.
I also want to make absolutely clear to everyone that the greatest potential for large loss of life is still in the coastal areas from the storm surge.
Brown also voices concern over the so-called shelter of last resort, the New Orleans Superdome, another fear that would, in time, prove accurate.
As you may or may not know, the Superdome is about 12 feet below sea level, so I don't know what the heck. And I also concerned about that roof. I don't know whether that roof is designed to withstand a Cat 5 hurricane. So not to be kind of gross here, but I'm concerned about NDMS and medical and DMORT assets and their ability to respond to a catastrophe within a catastrophe. So.
President Bush was dialed into that briefing from his ranch in Crawford, Texas, and offers support for the ongoing efforts.
I want to assure the folks at the state level that we are fully prepared to not only help you during the storm, but we will move in whatever resources and assets we have at our disposal after the storm to help you deal with with the loss of property, and we pray for no loss of life, of course.
But the president doesn't ask any questions, and just 4 days later tells ABC News that no one could have predicted the scope of this storm.
There is frustration, but I want people to know there's a lot of help coming. I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
A seemingly direct contradiction to what is said at the briefing.
I don't think anyone can tell you with any confidence right now whether the levees will be topped or not, but that's obviously a very, very grave concern.
Concern for a storm that would leave more than 1,300 dead and 2,300 people missing. Steve Knight, The Associated Press.
To see more, click in the lower left of your video player on the link called the Katrina.
Thank you, Bob. And if you want to click in the lower left-hand corner of your video player, it may do something else. I don't know at this point. But pretty much proves that the president knew what was going on or knew what was going to happen. That was the voices that you heard were Brownie and the president. So anyway, we're going to get back on some other audio as soon as we get back after the break. Here in just a minute, but we'd like to remind you also, if you want to get in on the program, you can dial 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-443-2366. That'll get you in on the program. You're listening to All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. This is Bruce Birch. We'll be right back.
Fourth Estate Radio. Bruce had this to say.
Latham is a member. Latham is a member of the Southern Baptist Convention's executive committee. Okay. He was arrested and charged with offering to engage in an act of lewdness.
What?
Based on that one charge, I'm thinking he didn't offer to hire a prostitute. It sounded like to me that he was just like coming on to the guy.
Well,
maybe saying to him that he would give him a free something or another.
Well, I want to know if George Michael was in there for the meeting. Join us 10 p.m. Eastern Time Saturday night for Fourth Estate Radio. Get the details at fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Tom DeLay, indicted for criminal money laundering, pocketed tens of thousands in campaign contributions from indicted lobbyist Jack Abramoff. 48 trips to golf resorts, 100 flights aboard company jets, 200 nights at world-class resorts and hotels, $1 million from Russian tycoons to allegedly influence his vote. $1 million from Russian tycoons? What else will we uncover about Tom DeLay? It's time for DeLay to resign.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye, baby, by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Hello.
Hi, Bill. This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving, and I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can.
It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In the beginning, there was dirt, water, and air. And it was good. Once, Planet Check.
With gas prices skyrocketing at the pump, there is a cheap, renewable alternative fuel.
Rudolph Diesel actually designed the diesel engine to run on vegetable oil over 100 years ago.
A diesel engine that runs on used vegetable oil?
We get the used vegetable oil from fast food restaurants.
It's called biodiesel. Joshua Tickle, author of From the Fryer to the Fuel Tank, explains.
Biodiesel is a clean-burning diesel fuel that's actually made from vegetable oil. It's usable in any diesel engine. You don't have to modify the engine. You just pour biodiesel right into it.
Pour some veggie fuel into that tank.
The environmental benefits of biodiesel are that it's cleaner, it's healthy for humans, plants, and animals.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
All right, you're back on All Things Reconsidered. This is Bruce Birch, and I am your host for this wonderful program on the Head On Radio Network. And I believe on line one we have my good friend Steady. Steady, are you with us? Steady, are you with us?
I got you. Yeah, it sounded like we just broke through. Hi.
Hey, buddy. How you doing this evening?
Good. The show sounds great. Those are some great audio clips from the International and Musharraf. That's an excellent element, but I kind of, how about you, Bruce and Bob? Thanks a million, guys. You guys are doing a great job. John Fox, I missed you last night, but your show's great too. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Stet. What's shaking? What's on your mind tonight?
I went to a meeting of a local activist here, progressive activist called Citizens for Peaceful Resolutions, and it was the busiest meeting I've been to by this group. It was standing room only and packed, and the excitement was in the room, and one of the other congressional candidates was there. But the reason why I'm calling, the excitement was in the room, and another group that was there is called Word and World, and they're in Greensboro. And I flashed you a link there, but I know you're really busy, but they look like a very cross denominational, faith oriented, but politically active, affecting change. Martin Luther King, Gandhi, the whole, they brought up Selma, Alabama, and the whole march, and a lot of interesting things in their booklet here. WordandWorld.org.
WordandWorld.org. I'll check it out for sure.
Yeah. A very nice lady, Elaine, was there, and gosh, I just thought I'd bring it up because they're in Greensboro, and the event, you know, that you covered, they were there also.
Oh, okay.
At that time, I believe I got that correct, and I got their program here. It's just really cool, and for the show to connect at this level on these type of things at this time, you know, no internet, no connection like this. This is happening, accelerating what would take decades. Normally, it's happening in weeks. Thanks, well, Tom Hartman. Thanks,
yeah,
White
absolutely.
Rose.
Thank you.
All Things Reconsidered. Thanks, all you guys.
Well, we're trying to make a good run of it. I know that, one can only hope to be as successful as Tom Hartman is, but you know, he is a wonderful guy and is really. Helping to further the connection between progressives, and that's just an amazing thing. I will definitely look into the Word and World website there, Steady. I've never heard of them prior to that, but I probably know some of the people who are involved.
You just might.
And I would imagine that, they saw me definitely that night because I was one of the leaders or one of the people speaking, so. But anyway, yeah. So, what? Anything else going? How's the campaign going?
It's moving forward. I'll bring a more in-depth and detailed update next week because there's a lot of stuff that has to happen this week, and I don't want to talk too much about it. I have to do it. Lots of places have already fallen off the wagon here, and I've made my deadlines, and there's one big one left Friday afternoon, so I need to meet that and not talk about it. Just have to get it done. Lots of stuff to do, man.
Well, just as a guy running from running for office, what do you think about the whole nuclear secrets for mangoes?
You know, it's just a sidebar, a distraction. The ports is really the issue. This is open establishment letting go of that which they covet. They have a plan to get it back. They need to cover. So they need the money to direct other places. You had the same group, the same element, that banking establishment international that can play all markets all day around the world, you know, going after trying to privatize the postal system of Japan. These are the type of income streams they need to capture now to keep their scheme afloat. So they identify themselves by the deals that they're making at this time. It's pretty obvious. That's what I think about the ports deal.
I think the whole mangoes for nuclear secrets is a red herring as well.
Lost you on that, right? But I think that's a big side screen. I think that's a big. These Musharraf said it. I mean, what are they doing? What are they talking about? Does he know what democracy's doing? And he's really pointing to change in his country. And that's where the people are. I'm talking about the change is really happening. They know that this stuff is the world history is being changed right now.
Right. Well, I do hear some music in the background. I have to take a quick break, and I actually have someone else on the waiting online too. So, Steady, it's great talking with you this week, and we'll do a little bit longer next week. Get a good fill in on what's going on in your campaign. Okay.
Yeah, Mango's thing was just hilarious. That's funny too. You guys are great. Love the internet.
Fantastic. Well, it's good talking with you, and have a great week.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. You're on with Bruce Birch on All Things Reconsidered on the Head On Radio Network. We will be right back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, badder, and better than ever. Head on with Bob Kincaid, just like you remember him. Feisty, ferocious, and foremost, fact-based. No right-wing spin, no falafel, no Oxycontin. Just a nightly confrontation with the facts, the issues of the day. Head on. Listen live every night.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Click on air every weeknight from 7:06 to 10 p.m. Then call 877-443-2366. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. It's easy.
It's talk radio for the rest of us.
Monday through Friday night, 7 to 10.
Head on.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can now grab as a podcast or download off our website at progressive.org. Sure is nice to see Bush's poll numbers drop near the freezing mark, all the way down to 34%, according to a new CBS poll. Always wondered what it might take to get some of those Bush supporters to peel off. I used to think you'd need to have photos of Bush running naked through the Rose Garden chasing a little boy. Turns out that a crony deal to Dubai Ports World has done part of the trick, since it hits Bush just where it hurts, with his tough-on-terrorism crowd. Only 43% of the American public now approves of Bush's handling of the war on terror, a record low for him. The Iraq War is also proving to be his undoing. That same CBS poll shows only 30% approval for his handling of Iraq. A whopping 63% say the war has not been worth the cost. Even the troops want the U.S. to get out of there. According to a Zogby poll, 72% of them think the U.S. should pack up within a year. Bush is fast, losing the popularity needed to govern and command effectively, though he never had the ability to do so in the first place. America is finally waking up to Bush's incompetence, cronyism, recklessness, and lawlessness. It's been a long slumber. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Okay, you're back with Bruce Burt on All Things Reconsidered. And I understand we have a caller on line two. My good friend Peter from Tallahassee, Florida is on with us. Peter, how are you doing tonight?
Mango greetings. I had to steal that from Spike. I love that. Mango greetings. You know, I wasn't going to call this evening, Bruce, but you played the Katrina denial tapes a little while ago, and I got my mangoes all in a wad, and I just had to talk about that. You know, the thing about
your mangoes all in a wad?
Yeah, it really upset me. I just started throwing mangoes everywhere every time I hear that. With Bush not asking any questions, you know, they're carefully trying to point out that he had been briefed many times earlier that day, and it was one of many meetings. Well, I'd sure like to see some proof of that.
Yeah, well, you know, it sounded like to me that there was only, you know, in that particular situation, that they were giving him the full rundown on everything. So how often during the day do they give him the full rundown on everything? Is that every hour that they do an hour-long briefing?
Precisely. And the thing that gets me is, you know, he immediately ignored the whole thing. He walked away. But, you know, Bruce, that's not a snapshot in time. That's going on even as we speak. Here this man is traveling to India, trading nukes for mangoes and causing riots in the street. Nobody wants him there, while completely ignoring the fact that thousands of people who are still suffering from Katrina and dialing that 1-800 number to FEMA and being on hold for 6 hours when they can get through and then getting disconnected. There are people all over the place along the Gulf Coast that are living in tents and are basically surviving due to various community agencies, churches, food banks, keeping them going. They're living in tents. And here we have a man who's completely disconnected from that, who still has not lifted a finger to personally intervene in it, except for lip service. I am too.
There's only one way to describe his reaction, and that is negligently, or I should say criminally negligent.
Well, it is. It is criminally negligent, and it certainly embodies the whole mindset of the current regime, completely disconnected from any reality. It all has to do with press releases and deniability, and I don't see how it could get much worse. I am encouraged, though, that people are beginning to figure it out. It's slowly coming to the forefront, and I'm encouraged by that, but people are still suffering from that, and there are soldiers still coming home and committing suicide from what they've been through, huge numbers. And this is going to haunt us for many, many, many years. This is not something we're going to walk away from after the 2006-2008 elections. It's going to be a legacy that is going to be hard to ever live down.
It really is. You know, there are a lot of organizations that are trying to fill in where the government really just dropped the ball. I don't want to say they dropped the ball. They intentionally downed this, you know, like in a football game. They threw the ball away on this one. I mean, it wasn't that they didn't, you know, because you heard the briefings. The briefings sounded like to me that they, you know, that they had everything going on that they needed to have going on. But the bottom line is that when the time came for the rubber to meet the road, so to speak, you know, they never put the key in the ignition. They never sent the response teams that they needed to send. And, you know, Brownie, good old Brownie, and I don't want to, like, lift him up at all, but at least he's coming clean about it.
Well,
you know,
yes,
at
he
this
is.
Point.
Yes, you know, he is, I mean, and it's because it, only because he was made the sacrificial lamb in the situation.
He was hung out to dry.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and he towed the line there for a little while, you know, and he tried to cover up for him for a while, but then I guess maybe his conscience got the better of him. I don't know. The guy doesn't seem to be too smart, but I don't know. It's hard to imagine. The other thing
I wanted to talk to you about,
sure.
Bruce, is another Jeb World newsflash. I talked to you just briefly last night regarding a new town that's being built in South Florida by the Domino's Pizza Hut multimillionaire. It's a special town. They're going to have no birth control will be sold there, and cable vision will be restricted, et cetera, et cetera. Well, there's something else coming out of Jeb Bush World, and this place is just a hotbed of outrage if you look at it. And I just thought I'd tell you about this. This is just coming out. You've probably heard, or maybe you've heard of a organization called Exodus, or Exodus International, I believe is the full name of it. And it's supposed to be an organization to cure homosexuality. Well, they're based in Florida, and this particular organization or its roots actually began in 1973, and that was the first wave, and that was when the phrase of functioning homosexual first came into use. I believe they coined that. Now, I've never quite figured it out.
Wait a minute. Is that like a functioning addict? I mean, what does that mean exactly?
Well, I guess it means you're just so gay that you just fall on the floor and go into a hissy fit. I don't know exactly what it means, but it means that you're gay but you can still function. I guess that means pass for straight in their vernacular. And time passes, and that was the first wave. Then the second wave of that movement, the Exodus movement, began in 1998, and that's when John and Ann Polk, and they were two self-proclaimed ex-gays, and they got married, and they appeared on the cover of Newsweek magazine, and they claimed that homosexuals could heal themselves with a lifestyle choice. And that wave ended pretty quickly after John Polk was caught in a Washington, D.C. gay bar, and he was forced to resign his position from Exodus International, and also he was a member of Focus on the Family, too. He had to resign both positions. But now we're into something new, and this is the new news that I'm giving you from Florida. It's the third wave of the ex-gay activism, and it focuses less on curing adults of homosexuality, but moves over into the preventing its development. They target parents, and they target children. Bruce, they're taking in kids as young as 5 years old into this program. They're causing tremendous psychological harm. They're exposing these people to pornography and giving them electrical shocks. They're giving them
electrical shocks.
ECT? Yes, electrical shocks. They're giving them the stuff that that induces vomiting. In case you, they're giving them that. There's one doctor.
So basically, what they're doing is aversion therapy.
Aversion to children. To prevent them from becoming gay. They're pretty much moving away from that. Now they're just focusing on prevention. There's a documented case of a father driving his 16-year-old son handcuffed to one of their facilities and being dropped off. There's no psychological, people who have any, real training or papers or who are trained psychologists at these places, they're just working on the old, cast out the demons therapy. And I just thought it was interesting that this is taking place in Bush World, and the headquarters is down here, and now they're targeting children. And just sad.
It is sad, and you know, I mean, there is absolutely, and I have done some psychological training, Peter, and there is absolutely no evidence at all that exists anywhere that says that aversion therapy works. It absolutely does not work. I mean, it works. It probably works about as well as if someone just on their own stopped whatever behavior it is that they're doing. But the bottom line is that for anyone to God, this is just, you know, it's one thing for someone to believe, okay, well, homosexuality is a choice. Okay, so they believe that. That's fine. But when they take that belief and perpetrate that on others and use violence, aversion therapy is a form of violence on another human being. It leaves the realm of personal belief and enters the realm of violence.
Well, it really does. These kids are coming out suicidal. They're coming out depressed, especially the ones that, quote, fail, end quote, because they blame themselves and, you know, they've been thoroughly conditioned and taught that, you know, that there's something wrong with it and there's something bad. And one of the problems is
These kids are going to end up being alcoholics and addicts, and they're going to end up – I mean, this is just not good.
Well, yeah, it's not good. And one of the problems with them, quote, curing adults was, you know, they seem to only want to see things in black and white. You're either gay or you're straight. They refuse to acknowledge the fact that there are bisexuals on this planet. And you can – I'm sure – now, here I'm speaking on theory. I'm not a bisexual. But – I would imagine that you could take a bisexual into the program who is thoroughly guilt-ridden and believe that that homosexuality was a sin, blah 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 blah, and convince them to function sexually entirely in their heterosexual orientation if they were bisexual to begin with. But you can no more take a straight man into a program and convert him to be gay, or a gay man to a program and convert him to be straight, than you can pray over him and change his eye color. It's just not possible.
No, but
now they've moved away from that. There were, you know, and they're, you know, even when they were working on adults, there are some reports that say, oh, we've cured hundreds. Other reports, we've cured hundreds of thousands. None of it has any credibility whatsoever. But they've moved on to children now, Bruce. And I just wanted you to let you know it's happening right here in Jeb Bush World. And where else would it happen?
I know, and it's tough. It's, you know, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I'm glad that you told me about this, but this is something that, you know, is there not a group that can fight against this kind of, I mean,
well, at this
where are social services?
Are taking issue with it, and especially now that they're pulling children in, because it has to do with consent and informed consent. You see, when they take these kids in, they're not giving them informed consent about, these can be some of the psychological ramifications of being shocked or taking things to make you throw up, and you know, you may end up depressed, you may end up with it. They're not giving them any counseling. If they consider that the kid has failed to conform to their way of thinking, they just get kicked out. You know, there's no it's just plain evil, and yeah, they're being taken to issue now. Wouldn't surprise me if the ACLU didn't get involved in it sometime soon.
Yeah, and actually, this is just insane. I'm glad that you brought it to our attention, though, Peter. And you know, the best I can tell you right now is let's keep an eye on this.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just right there near Disney World, happiest place on earth.
Oh my God! These people are sick. All right, listen, thanks for calling in, Peter. We'll talk to you very soon.
Yes, sir.
You are. And we'll see you soon. Good night. You listen to All Things Reconsider on the Head On Radio Network. And if you want to give us a call, you can do so at 1-877-443-2366. We'll be right back.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution. Keep on talking now. Yes, I will. Keep on singing by. Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path? One that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way? Or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580. Or go to peacecorps.gov.
All right, you're back with All Things Reconsidered. My name is Bruce Birch, and this is the Head On Radio Network, fledgling radio network that is going to be bringing you progressive programming, hopefully soon, around the clock. We're working on it. And we just got off the phone with Peter, and I got to tell you, I really have a tough time with people who believe that the way to change behavior in children is to beat the shit. Excuse me, I shouldn't have said that, is to beat the crap out of them. Okay, I really have a tough time with that. I have a tough time with people who makes me angry. It really does. I have some kids myself, and, that's a question, and I'm just going to be candid with you. That's a question that's crossed my mind over, the time that I've been a parent. I'm sure every parent, it crosses every parent's mind at some point, is whether or not their children may turn out to be gay or to be, whatever. And you know what? The answer I came up with was love knows no boundaries. Love knows no boundaries. Okay? Love knows no boundaries. And the reason why I say that love knows no boundaries is the bottom line here is this. If you find someone else's behavior so unacceptable to you that you would subject them to physical violence in order to change that behavior, might I suggest that perhaps you're the one that needs the physical violence? All right. Okay. They used to do this with addicts, too. They used to do this with addicts, with drug addicts and alcoholics. They would put them through a thing called aversion therapy. And in aversion therapy, Often they were forced to drink until they puked. Of course, that, you know, for a real alcoholic, that was not aversion therapy. No, but they were often forced to do a lot of different things that was painful. There's conditioning therapy where they were given, you know, a drink and then they were shocked so that they would associate, a person would the Pavlovian response where they would associate the drinking with the shock. I mean, there are all these different crazy, whacked out, screwed up therapies that were not based in science at all whatsoever. You know, they were stabbing in the dark. And you know what? Now they're doing this to try to create straight people out of gay people? This is just beyond the pale. It's completely beyond the pale. And really, you know what? It just amazes me. It just truly amazes me. So, Peter, I'm glad that you brought this to my attention. And I'm going to get on this. And you know, we may hear some more about this next week. And I may try to get someone on the line to talk about this, perhaps. Maybe some of these people that are actually doing this. Let's see what they might have to say about it. All right. What a show tonight. We've had some wonderful phone calls. It's about 8 minutes before the hour, and we are, you know, obviously going off the air at 12 o'clock midnight. But I just wanted to try to let's I'm going to raise the bar a little bit for the end of the show tonight, and that is that I really want people, you know, who are listening to this program, you know, stuff like that we hear about that sickens us or that creates the kind of attitude in our thinking that is just like we can't believe that people would actually do this. The reason why we think that is because we are basically good people and we want to help other people. We don't want to hurt other people. We want to help other people, okay? Now, speaking for myself, this week I plan to do something to go out and help someone else. And I would strongly encourage that you do the same thing because the only way that we're going to be able to turn this world around and to change anything is we've got to create the kind of world that we want to live in, okay? And that means that instead of, like, fussing about how bad things are, we've got to go out and do something good to turn it around, okay? And if doing that something good means going and working on a Habitat house, if that's what you want to do, then by all means, please go do it. If doing something good means going down to the local homeless shelter and feeding the folks there, if doing something good means, you know, volunteering your time with some kids or going to the hospital and reading to cancer patients or whatever it might be, that's fine, but do it. Because that, by doing that, that's how we create the world that we want. That's how we create the world that we want. I'd like to thank Bob Kincaid for producing this radio program this evening, as he does each and every Sunday night through the auspices of the Head On Radio Network. I'd also like to thank Ben Birch for streaming our program throughout the White Rose Society Network, which is world-freaking-wide. Thank you, Last Radio Station down there with Keith Lake, for broadcasting the show in eastern North Carolina, as well as WDCX down in Florida. And I'd also like to thank you, finally, dear listener, for tuning in to All Things Reconsidered and making this a successful radio program. And last but not least, I'd like to also thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights for making it all happen with the Head On Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, go out and help somebody else this week. They deserve it. My name is Bruce Birch. This has been All Things Reconsidered. See you next Sunday.
It was a time I'll always remember. I could never forget how reality came down around us like some Western movie set. And when the dust all settled, the sun shone so bright, and a great calm took over us like it was all gonna be all right. That's how it felt to be alive after the revolution. From Groton to Tacoma, on many a factory floor, the workers talked of solidarity and refused to build weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for For the first time, their children were proud of their parents. And somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution, prison door swung open. Mothers hugged their sons. The Liberty Bell was ringing when the cops put down their guns. A million innocent people lit up in the springtime air. And Mumia and Leonard and Sarah Jane Olson took a walk in Tompkins Square. And they talked about what they do now after the revolution. Debts were all forgiven in all the neo-colonies. Soldiers left their bases, went back to their families. A non-aggression treaty was signed with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees after the revolution. George Bush and Henry Kissinger were sent off to the world court. Their plans for global domination were preemptively cut short. Their weapons of mass destruction were inspected and destroyed. Battleships dismantled, never again to be deployed. And the world breathed a sigh of relief after the revolution. Solar panels were on the rooftops, trains upon the tracks. Organic food was in the markets, no GMOs upon the racks. And all the billionaires had to learn how to share. Bill Gates was told to quit his whining when he said it wasn't fair. And his mansion became a collective farm after the revolution.